Good afternoon, everyone, again. And we are here together with the group from different states present. And this is a live YouTube stream program. It will be like a Bible study. We will get involved, some of you, and there will be some questions. We are also on the conference call live. Thank you for joining us. And for those of us, of you who will be watching it later, just want to invite you to visit our YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. You'll find on the channel many programs specifically by Bill Liversidge that will encourage you and strengthen you, some gospel messages, and we will be putting more regularly, and you will enjoy it and grow in Christ. So this is also our website, creativemediaministries.org, and check out what we have to offer. Having said that, now we are going to go into the message. And before we do that, I have a quick word of prayer. Loving Father, once again, we want to thank you and praise you for this precious time together at your feet. Thank you for your word, and as we open it, we claim the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us and make it clear what you have placed in that word, in that very passage, that we may see and understand and appreciate and be drawn closer to you and strengthened by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So the title is The Just Shall Live by Faith. This is part one of the presentation, and we're going to be focusing on the power of the words. So I'm going to take you first to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16. Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Now, what is the gospel? It is the power of God unto salvation. And what is the meaning of salvation? The meaning of salvation is given to us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew 1, 21. And this is the first time that the word salvation appears in the New Testament. That sets the tone to understand the word for the entire book. Matthew 1, 21 says, this is the angel speaking to Mary. She will be speaking to Joseph about Mary. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. How does your Bible read? My Bible says, from their sins. Some people read in their sins. I'm just checking. What version do you have? The correct version is from their sins. That's the meaning of salvation. Salvation means a deliverance from sin. And by the way, the word Jesus here is in Hebrew, Yeshua. That means Savior. Now, what kind of power is involved in salvation? Have you thought about this? I've been thinking. And then I visited the first verse in the Bible that it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Now let's dive into it now and sort this through. So we could see the power of God, the meaning of salvation, and also the power that is actually existing in the world when God speaks. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, and verse 4, we read the following. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. See, the Old Testament. What was written before, the Old Testament, contains the encouragement, the gospel, much hope and comfort, including the first five books of Moses, including the book of Genesis. Let me give you a proof to that. John chapter 5. Michael, if you could read to us a few verses, beginning with verse 39. John 5, verse 39. If you could read it loud so our viewers could listen it. Hear it. John 5, 39.
You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me.
Wow, it is these, the scriptures, that testify about Jesus. When Jesus spoke this word, the New Testament was not written yet. So the Old Testament testifies about Jesus. Now verse 46 and 47, please.
For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
So we see it clear now. Why do we find hope now and comfort in Old Testament scriptures? And just the same as the New Testament, the Old and the New. Why do we find hope? It is because Christ is in them, in both, in Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures. Take a look at 1 Peter now, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and verses 11 and 12.
Seeking to know what person or time.
From verse 10, Michael, let's look from verse 10, please. 10 to 12.
As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look.
Okay, so what spirit is in the Old Testament, as we just read in verse 11? The Spirit of Christ is in the Old Testament, right? The Spirit of Jesus. What else is in it? Verse 12. In the Old Testament, we read the gospel that was preached. So in Old Testament, there is the Spirit of Christ and the gospel. Then what did Moses and the prophets minister to Israel of old and the spiritual Israel today? What did they present? They presented the gospel, the same gospel that the apostles were presenting. It's the same thing. Now, what was the first thing that Moses wrote in Genesis, the story of creation? Let's see if we can find the gospel now in creation. First of all, what is the gospel? Give me the scripture, like my friend and mentor will say, give me scripture lest I perish. So what is the gospel? We just read from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. What is the gospel? Give me a definition of it by the word of the Lord. Anybody? Then I'll read it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the manifestation of God's power to save men. Are you hearing it? The gospel is manifestation of God's power to save man. And salvation is salvation from sin. The gospel is manifestation of God's power to save men from sin. Wow. Now verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse. Wow. Wow. So the gospel is manifestation of God's power to save men. And Peter also expressed in 1 Peter 1:5, we are protected by the power of God. We are protected by the power of God. Can the power of God be seen in tangible form? We just read it in verse 20. Yes. It can be seen. So you could see the power of God in the things that he created. They're visible. You could see the power of God in creation. And what is the power of God in the line of salvation? We just covered it. The power of God in the line of salvation, it is the gospel. Correct? So, then what does the work of creation teach us? The gospel. Let's take a look now at Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, Michael. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. We're going to cover a number of passages today, and I know my friend would call it a grasshopping. But nevertheless, it will be very enjoyable by the time we finish.
The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun.
Okay. You see, friends, not everyone can understand or read Russian. Not everyone can understand or read English. But all can read and understand the simple language of the works of God in nature. Everyone can. Once again, Romans 1:16 said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. In Romans 20, we see the power of God is manifested in the things that he had made, and therefore even the psalmist spoke, we just read those verses in Psalm 19, that he spoke of the gospel, which the heavens are teaching. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, actually quoting from Psalm 19. Romans 10 now, and verses 15 through 18. Michael, read for us, please. Romans 10, verses 15 through 18.
How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
Wow. You see, the Apostle Paul speaking here about the gospel which all did not obey. Apostle Paul here actually is quoting from that Psalm 19, verse 4. And by the way, one of the reasons that apostles did not wash the beautiful feet of Jesus, you know why? As we covered today, this morning, they missed that opportunity because they did not understand the complete gospel of Jesus. So, then Paul is saying, all have heard, and as a proof they did hear, he quotes from Psalm 19, their line is gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. So the gospel was preached back then. The words concerning what? As Paul is quoting from Psalm 19. The words, their words went to the end of the world. He is speaking about the gospel, the words of gospel. What then the conclusion here? That the heavens actually do preach the gospel. There is no man so illiterate that cannot read the gospel. And there is no man so deaf or isolated that cannot hear the gospel. I'm serious. Because if you look around what God had made, this is the exhibit of God's power. And God's power is unto salvation. He's exhibiting his power there. You know, no one has excuse that they have not heard or they have not seen in tangible form the power of God, which is unto salvation, the gospel. You know, a few months ago, almost last year actually, I was in one of the islands in Hawaii. And meetings were over, and I stayed extra day or two. And my last day, I went to the beach, spent the day there, and was just laying there watching the sun going down on the horizon. And so beautiful and relaxing. So my time came back to go back to the place where I was staying. I was staying in the church office, and didn't have money to pay for the hotel. But I drove to the church property. The gate is open, but the church is locked. And I noticed that I need to gas up the car so I could return in the morning at the airport. And as I drove to the gas station across the street, came to the pump, stopped there, I noticed that already dark, there was a man, a homeless man with a backpack, standing on the corner of the building of the gas station. So I looked at him, got out of the car, came to the building of the gas station to pay for gas. And I glanced at him. I noticed that he is not a drug addict or, you know, abusing substances, drinking. He did not look like that. But he was so skittish. I came out of the gas station and was passing by him. I looked at him. He turned his face from me. He didn't even ask anything. I came to the pump, began to gas up my car, and I looked at him again. He walked from that place to the other corner of the gas station and sat there where there is no light, just sitting there in darkness. And I finished the gassing the car, sat in the car, put the key in the engine, and the voice spoke to my mind. Right, you're not leaving, are you? So I pulled out the key, got out of the car, came to this homeless man. And as I came up to him, he was sitting on the sidewalk. I asked him, my friend, what happened to you? He looked at me. So I didn't want to stand above him. I just bended to his level. And he spoke to me. He said, I have schizophrenia. Nobody needs me. I have no place to go. And I shared with him the gospel. I lifted up the cross of Jesus before him, how much he is loved by Christ, by the Creator of the universe. And as I was sharing with him the cross of Jesus, his eyes began to open wider. There was a hope in his eyes. And as I finished sharing this, I could see the hope was there in his heart. And tears were swelling. Just, I could see that this man was touched by the gospel. And then as I finished, I said, "My friend, we may have troubles in this life, but please never give up on Jesus. He is coming to take you home. And there will be no more tears, no more sicknesses, no more abandonment, no death. There will be continuous joy in the presence of Jesus who loves you that much." He looked at me almost with tears in his eyes and he asked me, "When will he come?" Tears came to my throat. I said, "My son, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Just hold on a little longer." I pulled out some money, whatever I had in my pocket, I gave it to him. And I left. My friend, there's so many people that need the human hand, the human voice, because this world deafened them, blinded them, made them so sick they cannot see or hear the gospel. And that's why Jesus is standing up, go and preach the gospel to everyone. And I just wonder, what would it be if I selfishly would draw away from there? Sometimes God had to speak to us. Sometimes he had to hit us with a hammer, you know, to open our eyes. So, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, let's read it again. I'll give you something now that you actually could share with our dear friends who do not believe that Jesus is God. You know who they may be. There are many Christians that don't believe that Jesus was God, is God. In Genesis 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Even in this verse, I could tell you that there is a gospel. Who created heaven and earth? The Bible says God. Now let's see who God is. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Michael, read to us Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, please. Hebrews 1, verse 3. This will equip you guys. You could write down all the passages and you could share with your friends who do not believe that Jesus is God. If this will not convince them, they need to see the doctor. Because if they believe in the Word of God, they must believe what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Let's hear you, Mike, loud and clear.
And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen. Now in John 10:30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." You remember that. And then in John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3, we read the following. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." And verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So and now we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Take a look at this. Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. It says, Michael, go ahead.
"For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible."
Let's put the previous 15, please, so it will have a clear reference of whom it is. Actually, let's start from 13, so we'll have a clear reference to whom it is referring.
"For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Okay. And now we are going back to Hebrews chapter 1, and beginning with verse 5, 5, 8, and 10. So three verses.
For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," and again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me"? But of the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom."
Please hear it. But of the Son God says, "Your throne, O God, is forever." Father calls Jesus God. Please hear it. How difficult it is to understand this passage for my brethren. And verse 10, please.
And you, Lord, in the beginning and laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands.
Okay. Who laid the foundation of the earth? Based on this verse?
Jesus.
Okay. Now back to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 now. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. To whom it refers? It refers to God in Christ. Now Christ is creator and Christ is redeemer. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 14 we read, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Well, let me read 13 also. "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Okay? And verse 16 it says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether the thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." So if he would not be creator, he could not be a redeemer. You see, what can this tell us now about the creative power and the redemptive power? What does it tell you about the creative and redemptive power? Anybody can express? If not, I will have to say it to you. The creative and redemptive power is the same. That's what simply it means. To redeem is to create. And Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the power of God is seen by what was made, right? So when you consider the works of creation and the power that was manifested in them as it was created, what power are you actually beholding? Please, unmute your phone and tell me now. What power are you beholding as you behold the, consider the creation and the power that stands behind the creation? What power are we beholding when you look at creation? We are beholding the power of redemption as well, because it is the same power involved in creation and redemption. Same power. Now tell me something radical. I just gave it to you. The Holy Spirit should speak out of our hearts and minds that redemption the power of redemption is the same power that was put forth in the beginning, creating our planet. It is the same power. And how big is the power? Wow. Psalm 51:10 tells us, see, that power is the power that actually has been put forth to cleanse man, to save man from sin. And David is saying, Psalm 51, verse 10. Let's open this up. 51:10. David is saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things now passed away. Behold, new things have come. And Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10. Michael, would you read that to us? Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10, please.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them.
Oh, by grace you have been saved. It is that very power that has been put forth to save us, the very power that was put in creation. And nothing we could add to that. So, God made this world from nothing. And man, actually, is nothing. He can produce nothing. He came from nothing. We can produce nothing. Whatever we produce is just a temporal. Can God do something? Well, of course he can. He has begun a good work in us. He is faithful to complete it. And how does he do it? Just as in the beginning. He does the same way. In Psalm 33, and verses 6 through 9, we read. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens and the earth were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And in Hebrews chapter 11, again, and verse 3, I'll read it to you quickly here. Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Wow. So the word of God has in itself the power to create what it pronounces. Whatever the word describes in the beginning, it exists in the living form in that word. I don't know if you could comprehend this. I hardly can, but this is the fact. The very thing that God is pronouncing is existing in his words. God calls those things which are not as though they are. Have you read this verse? As Paul was writing, those things are in his words. When he names a thing that previously had no existence, that instant these things are existing. For his word forms it as it names it. So when God says something in his word about you, do you believe it? When God says, let it be, it's too fast. That's how he creates. And most Christians underestimate the word of God. And most Christians don't take it by faith. The word of God is God-breathed and therefore full of his own life. It has life in it. In Christ Object Lessons, one of my favorite passages, page 38, states that in every command and in every promise of the word of God, there's a power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith receives the word of God is receiving the very life and the character of God. Wow, very profound statement. So in Romans, again, verse 17, chapter 10, Romans 10, 17, I'll read it to you. Romans 10, 17. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You see, Christ dwells in heart by faith. You know what it means? It simply means, my friend, that the word of God has Christ in it because it brings Christ into the heart. So we must believe the word of God. We must believe the Lord because he is the word. I don't know if you remember the story of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What took place there is so fascinating. It's just so appropriate to bring it out just for the sake of those who haven't heard this message before. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have Israelites here, the people of God, that they are invaded by three nations, and these nations, by the way, they are the family. They are the sons of Moab, the sons of Ammon, together with the sons of Edom. So Edomites are the descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. Moabites and Ammonites, they are two sons of the daughters of Lot that conceived through their own father when they made him drunk. You remember that. So these nations came and attacking their brethren, so to say. And they came in such a number that Judah and Jerusalem, they are trembling. They have no way to fight them. And King Jehoshaphat coming to the temple and he is praying before God in verse 12, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. So when you have trouble, keep your eyes on Jesus. And then the Lord is raising from the tribe of Levi, the prophet, and he's saying, listen, all Judah, and verse 15, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go against them. Then verse 17, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourself. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. And then Jehoshaphat in the morning, as they got up, he's speaking to his people. in verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." This actually today can be addressed to us. Listen, put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. Now, put your trust in the Lord. Believe the Lord. What does it mean, believing the Lord? It's simply believing what the Lord says, right? What he expressed in his word. Believing the Lord meaning believe his word. And if you believe the word, you will experience the power of the word of God. You will experience it. When the Lord says that the battle is not yours, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who does the salvation? The Israelites? No way. The Lord. So, and what do? Because they believe, they have chosen to believe the word of God. You know what? They had no other option. They had no other option. Why do we have to come to that very age where we have no other option to believe the word of God? Do it now, my friend, and you will see the power of God in your life. So when they began to sing and praising the Lord, set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. They were defeated. God fought against the enemies of his children. And the way he does, that he is exhibiting his power when we trust the Lord, when we trust in his word that has power to accomplish what it says. The battle is not yours. And salvation is salvation. God did not lay the solution of sin problem on you. He laid the solution of sin problem on Jesus. So to believe the Lord is more than mental understanding. To believe is to count the word of God as the most sure thing in the whole universe, because it is the word of the Lord that upholds the universe. To believe the word is to rest our soul, our hopes upon it, even though when everything appears contrary to it. I know it's a challenging thing for many. And I myself am challenged quite often when I take off my eyes from Jesus, when I try to find ways around. But the moment you put your foot on the rock, you are saved. The moment you trust in his word, you will see the power of God. So it is to walk basically where there seems to be nothing. But the Lord said it, and what he said it, it must be the firm foundation. Jesus, remember, commanded Peter, and he began to walk on water. Wow. And one of the poets wrote the following statement: "Nothing before, nothing behind. The steps of faith fall on something void and find the rock beneath." Wow. That's the walk of faith. The Lord said to Peter, "Come." And Peter is getting out of the boat and begin to walk on water. Just picture it. He's getting out of the boat and walking on water? Give me a break. How could that be? Well, see, it is not natural for men to walk on the water. The question is, because the water cannot hold men up on the water, what held Peter up on it? You could unmute your phone now and tell me, what held Peter on the water? You know what held him up? Go ahead. If you're ready to answer, go ahead. Well, let me tell you what held Peter on the water. The word "come." That's what kept Peter on the water. The word of the Lord, God, held Peter on the water. The power to God was in the word. He walked in the word, in the power of the word. He depended on the word of God. When he began to look around and see all those large waves, he began to sink. Why? Why Peter began to sink? Because he forgot the word. He stopped depending on the words of the Lord. That's why he began to sink. And he began to think only of the waves around him, how big they are. And as soon as he forget the word, he began to sink, because the water have no power to hold him up. And the symbol of the water, I just want to bring this quickly, the symbol of the water in the Bible, the waters, people. How often we rely on people. The Bible is clear, saying, cursed is the man who put his trust in man. The men are not reliable, no matter who it can be. The leaders, the presidents, in any society, the directors, you cannot put your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord and his word. That is a sure foundation. So, it was only the word of the Lord that could keep Peter above the water. And if the Lord would have told Peter, come up in the air, do you think Peter could come up in the air? Could it happen? If the Lord said to him, come up, Peter, come up in the air, could he do it? Yes or no? Tell me, please.
Yes.
Come on, why are you hesitant? Yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. Of course, Peter could have walked in the air. And we have a biblical evidence of that. Because Elijah, Enoch, they were caught up from this earth into the air and were taken up to heaven. Wow. And so it will be soon. This walking in the air will happen soon to everyone who learned the power of the word of the Lord and put the trust in it. And I pray that each one of us will learn the power of the word of God, the same power that created everything, the same power that is involved in redemption. Let us put our trust in the Lord and his word. And he will finish the work that he has begun. The only thing God requires from us, put your trust in the word, in the Lord. Put your trust in the prophets. That means the Holy Bible, the word of God. This is the living word. Put your trust in the word of God. Hear the word and act upon it. The rest is automatic. The moment you act upon the word of God, you can have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is in you. The function of the Holy Spirit is to bring the very life of Christ into you. And Christ in you is not a trap to sin. So, that's how the victorious life is possible for any Christian. Hear the word and act upon it. My prayer for every sincere Christian that we will be trusting the Lord and experiencing the power of his word. The same power that created the world, the same power that is being exhibited today in saving human race from sin. May God be with us. toward the process, holding tightly our hand and bringing us all home. And along with us, may we grab the hands of as many as we can, beginning from our family members and dear children. May God give us grace and strength to do it. Amen.